preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Well, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace. We are continuing our study as we picked up yesterday with Ephesians chapter 4 and looking at the sanctified life, a life of holiness, a life that is set apart, that is different, and one that is distinctively Christian, since the Lord has done all these wonderful things for his sheep in giving of his son to pay for their sins. And we looked at that structure in Ephesians yesterday, that the first few chapters describe all of grace, all of God's sovereign workings on behalf of his people. Then there's a benediction in the middle of the book at the end of chapter 3, and then 4, 5, and 6 is all practical instruction for how the Christian is to live, no longer under the law for condemnation, but now as redeemed Christians. And let me just say, I believe that is absolutely crucial to instilling a real motivation and desire for people to want to live the Christian life. When they understand and believe in the love of Christ that has freed them, that has paid for their sins, they will then desire to please the one, since they have nothing to earn, but that it's all done for them, now to walk thankfully in light of God's law, to please him in what they say and do. Now, we left off with that point yesterday in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that you should know how to, everyone should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. So how do we motivate? That's where we're picking up, as we just talked about. Well, the motivator is again to look at the gospel, to look at what Christ did. And in response to that, that will drive us to do what he desires of us to do. Colossians 3, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these. So there is a crucial motivating factor. Not only is it the gospel, but Paul says, I want you to consider what is going to happen to those who are outside of the kingdom, those who live in darkness. Think about it. He says, because of these certain ways of life, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. And we used to walk in those things. He says, put them off because you're delivered, and also to think about the wrath of God is coming upon those who live in these things. So looking at it from the perspective of what we believe and what Christ has done, it's important to highlight that we are no longer what we were. And remember, we looked at Romans 6 yesterday, that we are to reckon to ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive. To God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is the picture now. That's the calling for the Christian. And so we're to no longer be what we were. Scripture tells us no unchaste person, no idolater, adulterer, covetous, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or any of these people who are practicing these things are going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And Paul uses that as a motivating factor in the negative. And he says, don't be what you used to be. And that's where we pick up in Ephesians chapter 4 this week and today, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Now, this must have been glorious news to the Ephesians. Again, they had come right out of paganism, and here Paul separates them as if to say, you're no longer Gentiles. When the heart has been circumcised, when there has been a principle of a new life implanted there by the Spirit, the former ways described as the ways of the Gentiles are done. And so there are two prevailing themes here. Number one, the former way of life is to be put away. And people who have come out of really hard backgrounds and people who know what it is to live in the darkness really understand this so clearly. The former way of life is done for you. And then Paul says, secondly, don't imitate your present environment. There is a way of life that is consistent with the profession. There is a manner that is characteristic with the new man. So Paul motivates Christians to this by explaining what the misery of the old life is like. He wants us to consider it. It's as if he is saying here, don't walk that way, strive against it, because now that you have been enlightened, do you really know what walking in darkness really means? Darkness. Darkness. I can't even imagine it. In fact, one of the late rescuees from Haiti was asked, what was the worst part of being under the rubble? And he says, it wasn't the bruises, it wasn't the reality of it. It was the darkness. Darkness is described as a horrible reality that those who are outside of Jesus Christ are living in now and will be cast out into forever. It's a life of utter unfulfillment. It's a life of emptiness. As one pastor said, it's a river that runs into a sea and a sea that is never filled. Paul talks about not even speaking of those things to which we are now ashamed. And if a Christian falls into a period of sin, he will be the most unhappy person ever alive because it's not who he is now. And he's bumping up against something so contrary to the light he has come to know. Living in darkness is a destructive life for the soul, only to find afterward having its reward, an eternity of the darkness the life sought. Darkness. Paul wants us to think about it. Don't walk that way, he says. Don't live in the darkness, he says. And then he explains why. He says, This I say, therefore, and testify. This is Ephesians 4:17. And testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Paul calls their minds futile. He says that they're living according to the flesh because their minds are controlled by it. Their minds are given to, they're dominated, they're controlled, they're principled by whatever the sinful lusts and whatever the sinful nature directs. You know, you always tell children, you are what you think. What you think is what you are. And that is what we're seeing here in light of the darkness, in light of the whole picture of what it is to be under the wrath of God, to be under the darkness. Now, this is what Paul's dealing with here. This is what Paul's explaining here. And Paul had come out of a culture that says, well, whatever the body does is okay because the mind is the only thing of value. And Paul says right out of the gates here in Ephesians, the mind is the problem because it provokes action. What you put into your mind directs your walk. And he says such a path is a hardening path. It's a hardening path. The word for hardness here means to petrify. Just as a tree becomes petrified and turns into a stone, it's applied to joints in the knees or elsewhere where they harden as one gets older. Paul employs it to speak of the heart of somebody living in darkness. And then he brings us in verse 19 to the most painful reality. He says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. What does he mean by being past feeling? The word here actually means to lose all sensitivity, like skin becoming leprous. Now that is just the basic path of walking darkness. The mind is principled and controlled by whatever the sinful nature lusts after. The more and more you pursue it, Paul says, the more and more you get to this point of becoming past feeling. You don't even feel it. Your conscience becomes so seared in the sin, you no longer believe it's wrong and you live in it. Now that's the path That is what the apostle describes here as the path of living in darkness. Now, my friends, do you see how beautiful the gospel is? The gospel message is freedom. This is why Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." It shall set you free from the bondage that you're in. It'll set you free from the choices and the life of misery that you're in. It'll set you free from being held as a slave to these things, to which, in your pursuance of them, you were so hardened, you didn't even see it. That message, the good news of Christ's blood and his righteousness freeing us from that darkness, freeing us from the dominion of sin, that slavery to sin. As we are freed, the whole drive of our life is now that we are being renewed and made more like him in true righteousness and in holiness. And in a life that is pure before him, in a life that honors him, that is sanctified, that is set apart. And that's why the Bible always sets apart and gives a strong line of demarcation between these two lifestyles. It's defined to the point that the Bible says you either belong to one or the other. You are either in the darkness or the light. And the Bible gives no shade in between those. The differences of being in the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness are so radical that the Apostle Paul is saying, if the gospel has come to you, if Christ has given himself and you believe those things, it would be the greatest insult to God to dangle in those things, not only to which you're now ashamed, Romans 6, but those things to which you've died. After everything he's outlined, the utter perversity and hopelessness for one who takes up the name of Christ, he has now said, now that you've been free, there's a lifestyle that accords with happiness, fulfillment, and godliness. And we're to walk that. We're to live that as Christians. Now, I suppose it's important to say, can a believer fall into sin and periods of rebellion? Yes. Will he struggle against these things? He's in a fight. But a child of God cannot continue in a path of sin. At some point, the Lord will lift him out if he pursues that path through chastening. But again, if one has been made alive, as stated here in the Bible, as stated as Romans 6 says, in a whole new way of life, there's a new desire. You have a new master, new affections, new pursuits, and that pursuit is holiness. And that's what Paul explains, and I want to leave us with today on Abounding Grace. We'll pick up with this tomorrow. He says in Ephesians 4, he says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you've been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You haven't learned Christ that way. He has been a good shepherd to you. He has freed you. He is pure. He is holy. And he has set apart you to be like him, to be conformed to him. You have not learned Christ in those ways of darkness. Christ has not done all of this for you to let you continue in sin that grace may abound. That's the design of the Christian life, my friends. That's what Christ has done for the Christian. And he calls us to live in light of that. He calls us to understand our freedom, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That, you see, will propel us and drive us to truly live lives for his glory. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. You can visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Also, extend to you an invitation to join us for an evangelism conference in Canada. Two different lectures will be given Thursday night, April 8th, this Thursday night. Speak at the Langley Canadian Reformed Church at 7:30 p.m. And Friday night, speak at 7:30 p.m. at the Abbotsford Canadian Reformed Church. Give us a call, 360-318-0429, if you'd like to know more about that. Thanks for tuning in. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.